Teke. This is the inaugural episode of this podcast I've been sort of thinking about for a while, and I just sort of wanted to have a place to have a conversation with various friends and people in technology, about technology, usually with a slight Canadian spin to things, hence the name Teke. And on this first episode, I'm going to be talking with Kemp Edmonds. He works at Hootsuite, and he's also been a good friend for a number of years. We went down to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest this year, and we just want to sort of catch up and talk about our experiences. We didn't actually see a lot of each other at South by Southwest this year. Kemp was busy doing some stuff for Hootsuite and his own thing, and I was giving a talk and sort of doing my own thing. And so it was just a good opportunity for us to sort of catch up and sort of talk about our barbecue experiences in Austin. So hope you enjoy, and I'm looking forward to doing more of these. So we'll start off, Kemp. Why don't you introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Great. My name is Kemp Edmonds. You can find me on the Twitters at Kemp Edmonds. I work at Hootsuite, and in my day job, I am really enabling organizational evolution through social media. So I work with our biggest customers, and I help them understand how they can utilize our platform to fulfill their goals. And I really support all of our enterprise sales team and the account management team and the support team, and I work on a lot of product management. I'm really passionate about Hootsuite and what it does and what it can do and what the future looks like for social communications. Humanizing business is really exciting for me. Outside of that, I produce documentary films. I just had a baby. I like to go to South by Southwest and play with tech toys and hang out with my friends and have a few Rye Pops from time to time.
Awesome. So do you remember when we first met? I have kind of a funny story about how we first met.
I'm pretty
impressed. How I remember you first. It was at Bar Camp. Mm-hmm. A number of years ago.
Mm-hmm. I remember where that was. It's actually quite close to where we're standing right now.
It is. It's a few blocks away. Mm-hmm. And you were running around panically looking for a MacBook adapter to do your presentation.
That's true. The dongle. I was without dongle in the early days.
You were dongle-less. Yes. So I just remember this young, fresh-faced Kemp looking for a dongle. And we've been friends ever since. So
it was that you supplied the dongle.
I did.
You're a hero.
I did. And I was like, am I going to get that back? Or, you know, but you brought it back and you made a point. Oh, and so that was good.
Yeah. For those that don't know what Bar Camp is, it's sort of an unconference. It's pretty exciting for me. I just kind of started out of university and social media, and I wanted to talk about education and social media. And so you propose a talk at the beginning of the day and they slot you in. And we were in this like half sort of this unfinished, unrenovated space, and I was up in some random room in the top corner, and the room was packed by the time my talk came around. And I think I used Prezi, actually. It was a pretty good-looking Prezi that I made.
That was pretty pretty early for Prezi, too.
Yeah. It was. It was kind of my first foray. I remember I met Noah Bloom there, too, and I was like, who's this cat? And I remember we spent South By a little bit with him and his new app, Jiber.
That's right.
So, yeah, full circle.
So let's talk about South By. This was our second year together. Last year, we were kind of roommates, mm-hmm. For at least part of it. And so, you know, you're no longer the newbie at South By. So this was your first year, sort of been there, done that, kind of know the ropes and that kind of thing. And
It was funny. At Hootsuite, a lot of our customers were going for the first time, and they were, you know, going to their account manager and be like, hey, do you know anybody who's been there who can I talk to? And I was giving advice to people, and I was like, I've only been there once before. But my advice was, you know, don't plan anything unless it's your job to be there. And then choose a few key things that you want to go to, and try your best to go to them, but let the experience take you where it may. And, you know, for all those listening, if you know John, you know he's incredibly humble. He is basically Vancouver's godfather of South by Southwest.
One of them. There's a few others.
There's a few grizzled veterans, but nobody guides the new people quite like John does. I think he took me into his perfect hotel room last year. This isn't 2013, this is 2012.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah, it does sound a little dirty, actually, and it was a little dirty. There's three dudes, lots of barbecue, and lots of drinking in a small hotel room, but we were right across from the convention center, and I got totally spoiled. Although I did spend most of the time on the floor, and when the bill came, I paid my way, but I was so lucky that I was able to to stay there and to get advice from a veteran of 7 or 8 years, John.
Yeah, this was my 7th year. And it's funny because last year, I mean, you always have a good time at South by Southwest, but when it comes to paying the bills, it's like, was it that good of a time? You know, could I have spent this money somewhere else? And I was really questioning whether I was going to return or not. And then I actually missed the booking deadline to get a hotel anywhere in, you know, within 20 miles of the convention center. And then I pitched a talk, and, you know, we'll talk about that later. But I'm really glad I went this year. I mean, aside from the talk part of things, because it was kind of fun. And I don't know, I would have felt a little like I was missing something more if I didn't go and was sort of following along on the internets like mm-hmm. a lot of other people had to, right?
Yeah, so, like our friend who was in the hotel room with us last year, he's when he hears this, he's gonna feel that grinding feeling. I'm curious about the cost. To me, it's like $2,500, right? Like transport, the flight, the accommodation, the pass, and then all your expenses, $25,000 to $3,000 for a Canadian from Vancouver. Is that a good estimate?
$3,000 is probably pretty fair. Yeah. I mean, because you got to factor in the flight alone is actually really the cheapest part of the equation. You know, $400 to $800 depending on how you go and when you book it, and then the pass is anywhere from I think $600 to $1,300 depending on the date you book, and then the hotel is the biggest killer. At least where I was staying, we were staying right downtown, right across from the convention center, literally at the doorstep of everything that was going on there. And the room was like $350 a night, mm-hmm. right? So $350 US. For me, the room I got specifically to have roommates just because mm-hmm. it's not something you want to spend by yourself. And my work hasn't been covering it for the last few years. So, but...
We did Airbnb. So a bunch of Vancouverites got together and we got an Airbnb. It was towards the other end of 6th Street, which is kind of where all the action happens. And it's kind of at a good little spot, far enough away, but close enough as well. But we had, air mattresses and people on the floor. And I think everyone paid, around $100 a night, which is much more reasonable, but not as comfortable and not as close. For sure, but I think we'll probably try and book that place again for next year.
Yeah,
just because it was good, it was close enough but far enough, and it's all about where you stay there. The Hootsuite team stays at a frat house that they rented north of town. Interestingly enough, and we're not going to have it next year because the people who booked it 3 years ago when we weren't there missed out on booking it last year and then missed out this year, but decided they would after they couldn't get it this year, decided to book it for next year for South by Southwest. So Austin must be very interesting in the way that it's almost like the Olympics comes once a year. In Vancouver, we had the Olympics in 2010, and people left town and rented out their places for similar values. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about, the Airbnb that you guys did too is because, I've always considered South by Southwest to really be geek summer camp, and it's like you're camping with your buddies, right? Mm-hmm. And your friends, and it's kind of fun to come home after being out all night or whatever and having some friendly faces there, and then you guys all go for breakfast mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that kind of thing and just sort of swap stories. And that's also why I kind of like my hotel room where it's located, because it seems to be a good hub. After the day of the convention or whatever the events people are doing, they sort of swing by there, mm-hmm. drop off their stuff, and then we go out and do something kind of fun afterwards.
Drop off the stuff and charge, of course. Yes. ABC, always be charging, South by Southwest.
That's right.
It's funny. This year, I think I never suffered from lack of battery because of just all the resources I had. And the cool swag this year to me was all the chargers.
That's right.
And I think that's going to become bigger and bigger. I think USB keys or branded USB keys were probably the previous kind of cool swag that was affordable for people to buy and brand.
Yeah.
And you want to put all your cool collateral on that. It's still not done very well, I got to say. A lot of people giving out USBs is like, why don't you put something awesome on this?
Did you notice this year, though? I definitely felt like a lack of swag, mm-hmm. And not that that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I mean, a couple years ago, I remember bringing 25 t-shirts home. I just gave them all away. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't need that many t-shirts. And especially not for crappy.coms that I've never heard of. But it just really felt that people were spending more time or more money on things like a good open bar with food and stuff like that, as opposed to here's a bunch of crap you're going to just throw away in your hotel room before you leave. That was the sense that I got this year.
Yeah, I wonder. South by Southwest knows, right? They work with all those hotels, and those hotels, like, as we experienced last year, not that, you know, when we're staying together, is at the end we all had to choose what we're going to put in our bags, and like, I think we ended up with like a pile of
a mountain
of 20 t-shirts that we left in the hotel room. So, you know, if you're South by Southwest, the hotel's like, hey, we got 1,000 t-shirts we're giving away to Sally Ann, you know, maybe you should tell people next year that they don't need to, like, really.
Yeah.
I got a really cool tune-in t-shirt. That's, like, the only t-shirt I got. But I guess second year, you're not as, like, enamored by swag. You know, I wasn't willing to stand in line with the Oreo booth. They have this really cool kind of thing going on, and get the little charger.
We did, and, I mean, it wasn't that bad of a line when we did, and it was good, but it only charges your phone for, like, 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But
even Collective Bias, Ted Rubin's startup, they had the... They actually didn't have an open bar. Maybe I was drinking too many vodka sodas, because it's usually beer and wine for free.
Yeah.
But it was at a barbecue place where Google Village was last year, in sort of the student housing area. Sat down, and I really went there to see Christy Wells and Chris Hure of Social Media Club, and Chris Hure, the badgeless king. As
yes.
You know, the badgeless, for those that don't know, is a movement at South by Southwest to enjoy what's going on, because you can without paying for the $600 to $1,300 badge. There's so much going on that you don't need to necessarily buy that badge. And at the tables, they had the little chargers with the 20, the 6 or 8 different heads for every single device you can imagine.
Every lounge or bar or whatever had like a big rack or wall of those things.
This was portable. So it was like a promo one. Like
Okay.
But instead of 10%, maybe give me 30 or 40.
Okay.
Not like our special gadget charger.
Yes.
We're swagging out over here.
Did you hear Mina got she won a second one?
What? What do you mean?
Because she tweeted about it after we got them at the gadget event.
Uh-huh.
And then they tweeted to her like yesterday or the day before saying, hey, you want an extra one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Nice. So she's got two. So go see Mina if you want to get any kind of power ever, because she is totally hooked
Mina
up.
Mina Sandu. Super sweet. Who I think it was her first year this year, right?
It was her first year. Yeah.
And so there's this party, GDGT, or Gadget as it's known, recently purchased by AOL just before the show. And last year, I think it was one of my favorite events. I remember that's where one of the clients that I brought in as just, to Hootsuite, that's where I met them. It's funny, last year it was like 7 or 8 TV box companies. So Boxy and TiVo and Western Digital had their box, and everyone had a TV top box, you know, to communicate with Apple TV. But I felt like the swag there was really good. And I think that was, to me, the bellwether of the swag and sort of the situation about the companies that came. So last year at the gadget party, there was probably like 40, 50, would you say, vendors at that? Yeah. And a lot of them gave out a lot of cool stuff. And my favorite thing was this really super slim Kingston USB that was like 8 gigs. And there was some other cool stuff you could get. This year we went to the party, I think there was 20 or 18 maybe vendors at that.
Yeah, thing. Definitely felt smaller.
Very much smaller. And one of them was this new, it's called Tint, T-Y-N-T.
Tilt.
T-Y-L-T.
Yeah.
T-Y-L-T. And it was all these really cool products for your smartphones and your devices. And one of the ones we saw right away was this phone stand. So for your car. And it was magnetic. So you would sit this thing on your dash with a suction cup or whatever, and you could just like drop your iPhone or any device on it. And a little scary how magnetized it was and how we feel about magnets, because we remember discs and stuff. But you just put it on there in a hold, and we were like kind of like, oh, can we get one of these? And they said, oh, if you're around at the end of the show, you know, we only have 2 demo models, but you can have one if you're around there in the show. And we're like, you know, John had nicely got us into the media version, you know, the media thing. And, you know, Mina was like, hey, do you have any chargers? And so they reached in the back and they pulled this charging block. Literally a little brick. I think I found out later it was like 80 or 90 bucks retail. And she had it in her hand. You could kind of, like, John and I think John kind of like initiated it, but we could kind of feel that there was a moment where like she was about to put this in her bag, meaning like they were going to allow her. They were going to say, hey, sure, no problem. And we kind of just jumped in like, hey, do you got one of those for us? Kind of thing. And the guy searched through the box of all his gear. And I can't give you one of the iPhone 5 ones, but here's the mini USB one. And for us, we have Mophie juice pack. So the mini USB is great. It charges the juice pack and the iPhone. And we all 3 of us walked away with these awesome, you know, $80 charging blocks.
And big
tilt.
Big,
thank you.
Big grins on our faces.
Yeah, even though we felt like maybe this wasn't as great as last year's gadget. But I met Wesley Faulkner there, found out he's a new dad. He's kind of a Twitterati that I'd kind of known for a long, long time. And it was great to connect with him and find out he's a new dad just like me.
I had a kind of awkward conversation with the CEO of Simple, the bank that's in the States. That's sort of, it's a new bank, and they sort of re-envisioning how to do banking. And I sort of got approached saying, hey, have you heard of our stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I have. Actually, I heard your CEO talking at XOXO, this festival I was just at last year. And, oh, that was me. And, like, I didn't recognize the guy. And he gave, like, probably one of my favorite talks at XO.
Awesome.
About how he is basically a hacker and how what he does outside of the finance and banking industry really helped him to understand how to sort of hack and change and sort of figure out a better way of doing something. Mm-hmm. You know, when he makes musical instruments and all this cool
stuff. That's what John means by hack, a better way of doing things.
That's not, right.
It's kind of evolved, especially in the you know, the techier circles.
Yes.
You know, hack is no longer this negative thing. So for any lay people out there listening to this, it means to make better by disrupting and being evolutionary.
Exactly. Yeah. So I ended up having a really great conversation with him, and it was completely random and unexpected, which, I mean, that's really, for me, that's really what South By is all about, is you just never know who you're going to be standing beside or in line with and chatting with. And
leads me to, you know, last year when I stayed with John, I wasn't working, I was on vacation, and so I got to do my own thing. This year, I was tapped by Hootsuite to sort of lead our enterprise sales team and help out our VP of community, Dave Olson, you know, personal hero and great friend as well. And we had a lot of events and stuff. So I didn't really get to do as much of the traditional stuff. But one of the people I met last year, who was a technology evangelist at Samsung, it was great because this year I actually had breakfast with him on the last day. And we went to a nice little place and just had a nice little breakfast. And, you know, that was a friendship that lives at South by Southwest. You know, we email twice a year and then hope, you know, we see each other at South by Southwest. And, you know, really cool for me. I think another highlight this year was Guy Kawasaki, you know, really kind of famous guy, but really super down to earth at his core. He came out, we were doing a hockey tournament with Five Hole for Food, which is this movement in Canada where you play street hockey and you raise food for the food bank in the city that you're in. And we wanted to do this in Austin. He came down and he was actually doing a whole bunch of stuff with Oreo. He was one of the prizes at the Oreo booth. You could have lunch or breakfast with Guy Kawasaki if you know, won that. And he hung out with us and I played street hockey with him for 2 hours.
He didn't just play street hockey. He played street hockey. Like, he was totally into it.
His hands, a little, you know, not quite, you know, a little tough. Like, if you're out there listening, no worries. But we were a bunch of Canadians playing with him. But it was awesome. You know, I think for Guy, he's one of those sort of tech celebs who's really over tech celebrity. You know, every time someone took a picture of him, he'd pull out his camera and he'd be like, I'm taking a picture of people taking pictures of me. So all they ended up with was pictures with his DSLR in front of his face. And it's funny. I'll tell another story about the year before where John and I were going from the Ironwood Barbecue, which is the backside of the convention center.
Ironworks.
Thank you. Around to the front to stand in line to watch a panel with Anthony Bourdain he wrote a book called Kitchen Confidential, which you haven't read, you must read that book. But now he's famous for this TV show called No Reservations, where he goes with locals to food eateries that are amazing where you cannot reserve a table. So a lot about waiting in line, food trucks, off the beaten path kind of stuff. We ran into him around the backside, so he's with sort of his entourage. And we were walking from Ironworks to go in line, and we see him, and John gets all fanboyed out and literally pulls out his camera and starts taking pictures of Anthony Bourdain without even saying hello, just by himself standing there. And I suddenly realized how weird that was. So I jumped into the picture and said, hey, how you doing? And then got a picture with him. And then John suddenly realized he could get a picture with him too. And he was just like, oh, awesome. So we swapped places, and he was super down to earth. That was kind of a cool moment. Again, those serendipitous moments. South by Southwest is, as much as there's this festival and this amazingness going on around you, it's the serendipity that really makes it the experience that's supposed to be. One of the things I said to a lot of people who are virgins this year or their first time, I said, you need to go around by yourself.
Yes.
You need to leave all your friends and you need to just walk around by yourself, walk into random talks. You know, one of the coolest things I like is that people talk to each other. you know?
Well, everyone has a lanyard around their neck with their name and who they are and where they're from on it, which is like an open opportunity to have a conversation. And it happens all the time. Yeah, I mean, it's a little weird sometimes if, you know, if you're a guy and you're looking at a girl just because of the placement of it. But everybody does it there, and it's such a great icebreaker because we're all there kind of for the same reason. And definitely breaking away from your tribe is huge down there. And that's the thing, is we all come down to like this big, you know, posse of Canadians. We all get on the same plane, stay in the same hotel and all that stuff. But we really need to sort of spread out a little bit and get away from that a little bit. And some of my best friends that I have down in Austin are because I met people, you know, out in the hallway of something or while waiting in line for barbecue or whatever. You just never know how it's going to...
I love somewhere, you know, like I've been, you know, been in New York lots of times. I lived in London, you know, in the big city. If you say hello to somebody on the street or in public transit, you know, it's like, what's wrong with that person? You know, at South by Southwest, if someone says hello to you or starts to initiate a conversation and you don't respond in kind, you're the weirdo. And I really like that, right? Because... especially because tech people aren't necessarily social by their nature, but in this environment, they very much are. Because although if you are purely a marketing person and you try to initiate a conversation with someone who's purely a developer or hacker or programmer, they're not going to want to talk to you about the latest Facebook campaign. And that's why it's great to be a hybrid.
For sure. But it's interesting, though, because a number of my what I would consider to be close friends in Vancouver, I met in Austin. You know, like Chris Krug and Dave Olson and Robert Scales and these guys, they were all going the same time I was going the first couple of years. And I think I was actually with my boss the first year I went, and he was wearing a Canada shirt, an Olympic Canada shirt, because Torino had just happened. And, you know, the Rain City crew were all there. And Krug said, "Hey, Canada," you know, or something like that. And that was sort of like the icebreaker, you know. It just, and for the last like a couple years after that, I always made sure and wear something from Canada. I always had like a CBC shirt or something like that, just sort of like people know right away where you're from and sort of
good idea, you
what,
know,
where
you,
your angle is.
You want to give people icebreakers in this kind of thing. Any conference that you go to, you kind of it's good to be able to do that. I think you know, you remind me of a story from my first year where we went to Google Village, and Google had rented out like this sort of student housing. These are really rundown houses. I don't even know how to explain them.
They rented out a whole neighborhood, you know, near the University of Texas, and
super rustic houses though. We're talking like,
but they painted them and everything. They just totally did them over, and each house was a different Google property, which is really cool.
So, I went into one of them and was having a great time and drinking. It was so hot and sunny and beautiful. And you know, there's some cool swag and a live band and free food. And, I was hanging out there and I stumble upon, Michael Blonde, who is, now a coworker and has always been someone I'd admired. He's super hardworking. And we stumbled upon each other. He invited me to be the opening keynote at this conference that he managed called MetaBridge in Kelowna. And then he was coming to Vancouver. I'm like, you got to work for Hootsuite. You know, someone as hardworking as you and so dedicated. And, you know, he went into Hootsuite. He applied for the job. I didn't even need to endorse this guy. Like, he just got the job on. And that was all spurred on by this serendipitous meeting at Google Village in the middle of a sunny day, because I had thought, this is fun. I don't need to leave this or go anywhere. That's part of the challenge about the badge, right? Is like, sometimes it gets you in places, but a lot of the time, like, you're not, like, I think the first year, I think I went to five things. This year, because I was working, I went to your talk, and then I had some time, so I went to Tim Ferriss's talk, which is pretty cool. It's about meta learning. And now I have this thing in my head where, like, you have to repeat something 5 to 7 times before you actually learn it. And so I'm using a lot of his tips. If you don't know Tim Ferriss, 4-hour work week, you know, creating passive income systems, 4-hour body, how to, is it all hacking the body, hacking the system. And now he's talking about hacking learning and how you can teach yourself things. So yeah, it was a pretty cool talk for me, Tim Ferriss. And your talk is pretty good too.
Thank you. But that's an interesting thing. And that's always a struggle. Like, do you buy a badge or do you not? And, you know, we've got friends that definitely, like you mentioned, Chris, who are with the badgeless sort of angle of things. But I also kind of like the idea of having a badge too, because of what it is and what it sort of symbolizes. Right. And I've been lucky the last couple times of not having to pay for it because of speaking or work or whatever, paying for it. But, there is certain events that you just can't do without a badge.
That's right. That's right. And or you need somebody to hack it for you, right?
Like, yeah.
We had a friend, a former coworker. He's part of My Bear Mountain, which is a really cool band. It's just broken out. And I think they were doing like, you know, 7 shows in 2 nights or 5 nights maybe during the music portion. So on Tuesday, there's this overlap time. Anyway, Buddy wanted to get Mike Blonde, who I told you about, wanted to get our, he had a badge. He wanted to get our coworker in there. And he ended up having to like talk to the owner of the venue and then eventually got the guy in. But the badge, not only does it like kind of get you into some places that you couldn't normally go, but there's also a thing about it, right? People wear it around the whole of Austin for the whole time, you know? Not only is it like, in some ways it's an identifier of, you know, who you are. I like that part.
Yep.
You know, you can look at, you know, meet somebody in an instant, look down at their thing. Literally, you could be standing next to somebody like at a street corner and kind of be like, oh, they work at that company. Hey, I know you. Hey, how's it going? And you have like this conversation with them. But at the same time, there is a classism to the badge, right? There is, like, and as, you know, I just remember, you know, there were times when I took it off and, like, looking, and I had some coworkers with me who didn't have a badge, and there's a lot to the badge, I gotta say. It's an interesting little little thing. I feel like, you know, the caste system in India, like, I feel like I'm reminded of classism with this, with the badge.
Yeah.
You know, knowing it costs, I didn't know it cost $595 or $600 at the low end, so maybe I'll buy this year at that level, but... I got pretty, I think I was at $695 or something, and luckily my my direct manager at work was like, hey, I'll cover half the cost. So I was really lucky on that end. You know, for me, it's my mecca. It's somewhere I'm going to go literally every year, and people can, you know, be haters and be like, oh, it's not like what it used to be, and it's like, you can never go back. You know, the past to me is this concrete wall. Like, don't bash your head.
But if you come there with that attitude, you're going to make it that. That's self-fulfilling right. prophecy. And I've always felt that conferences are what you make out of them. Mm-hmm. They can be the shittiest conference in the world, but mm-hmm. that dinner you had with that one person can make the conference for you, right?
Yeah. I got to tell another story. So when I went for the first year, there's this gentleman named Don Tapscott. And when I first started in social media, I worked in education. And Don Tapscott is a, you know, 50-something evolutionary thinker in business and technology and education. And when I went the first year, it was great. Chris Krug, at KK on Twitter, if you don't know him. John already mentioned him, one of our great pals, and really, you know, one of the first social media rock stars in the true essence of it that I ever met. He actually lives the life, and he's not just a poser. But he did the opening, he introduced Don Tapscott the first year, and I went to Don's talk, and it was a great talk. And this year, I initiated a contact with Don beforehand through Michael Blonde, who arranged the relation, the communication, and we had lunch.
Yep.
Went to the Iron Cactus, which is a great, you gotta hit that spot, rooftop, getting some sun. You know, the both years I've gone, it's been raining, really pouring rain the first 2 days and then super sunny the next 3 days. But we had lunch together, and you know, someone who last year I went to their talk and I bought the book and I got him to sign the book. And when he signed the book, he doesn't remember this. So if he's listening, D Tapscott, you can tell him. But when he signed the book, he was like, yeah, if there's a feedback form, let them know that they shouldn't have keynotes on Friday at 2 p.m. because no one came to my talk. And this year he gave another talk, but it was Monday at 5 p.m. So Don knows how to make it happen, right? But literally Monday at noon, we were sitting having lunch with Don, and we were talking about his history, how he was involved in a legal case about Microsoft Office, because he actually worked to create a product that was really the first Microsoft Office, and they were suing like Google or something. And so the lawyers came to him and said, hey, we found your little product here that was the first Microsoft Office. And he just told us all these amazing stories. And for me, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about those stories. Yeah. Like last year, you know, that serendipitous moment I talked about it earlier, I met the guy and then I had breakfast with him this year. He's from Samsung, and he, you know, last year he took me to the Samsung Blogger Lounge, and Baratunde Thurston was there. I'm a huge fan of his, and from The Onion. And he was signing his book, and I got to the front of the line, and I think we thought it was the beer line or something. So we get to the front of the line of him signing the book, and I was like, oh, dude, I don't have enough money to buy your book. And he's like, you're in the Blogger Lounge. It's free. And then he signs the book, and I was like, you're fucking awesome. And I think he signed the book and said, because I was so excited when I met him, I think he said, stay positive. You know, he's just like, dude, your energy was awesome. I loved it. And
it was funny, though, last year. You were like a kid in a candy store at South by the first year. You were just, I don't know how you can maintain that level of excitement for like 6 days straight. But you were literally, every time I saw you, you were like, yeah!
Look at this cool thing I got! Let me tell you a story! Let's have a beer! where's the barbecue? Yeah, literally I was. And, you know, hopefully not too many of my coworkers listen to this, but if I had my choice, it would be my vacation. It wouldn't be work. But hey, you know, it's really important for my company, and I'm, you know, married to that, and I love what we do. So I will always.
Well, your company is a very important piece of sort of an aspect of South by Southwest too. So it's a great thing to talk about when you're there, right?
It's amazing. Everyone knows what Hootsuite is at South by Southwest. Like, we live in Vancouver, and when you're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I work at Hootsuite. They say, what is that? And you know, oh, it's a social media management system. And they say, oh, what is that? And you're like, it's a place where you can manage all your social media from one place. And then they say, what is that? And you're like, oh my God, I have to leave now. You know, it's just like, you just don't get it. They have no idea. They have no need for what we do. You go to Austin, you go to South by Southwest, and everyone looks at your badge like, you're who you work at Hootsuite. I love Hootsuite. And everyone knows what it is. And it's just so nice to be among your people.
Exactly. It's that summer camp or coming home kind of thing where you all don't have to speak all that extra stuff. You just sort of know, and you can talk about different stuff than that. And
I was at brunch with some friends on Sunday, and we were talking about Google Glass, and they said, what's Google Glass? And I was like, oh fuck. So of course Google Images and Google Glass, and here's what it looks like, and it's this lens. And most people knew, but there was a couple people that didn't know. And you know, I guess you take it for granted
what we sort of consume, right?
Call it bubble world, you know. And it's funny because, actually, let me tell a great story about this year. For those that don't know, there's a company called Uber out there. And Uber is this, they're trying to kind of hack and disrupt the taxi system and the transport system in cities. And Uber is really cool in a lot of cities because you can order like a town car to pick you up through a mobile application. And you pay 20 to 40% more than you would for a taxi. But you call it on the thing. It shows you where it is on a map, when it's going to be there. And then it arrives, and a guy runs out of the car and opens the door for you, and it's blacked out, and everyone's like, who the fuck are you? And you're like, yeah, it's just an app, I don't know. And there's a cold bottle of water, and the AC works, and you're like, this is awesome. You get an Uber, and you go. At South by Southwest, and Uber is being attacked by the taxi lobbies in every individual city. In Vancouver, now it has to be a $50 minimum, and it's all this nonsense. So in Austin, what they did was two things. They made Uber X and Uber Lux. So Uber X is... I'll tell you about that in a sec. Uber Hex is like below town cars. Uber Lux is like you can get picked up in an Aston Martin or a Bentley, right? And $75 minimum, but they will pick you up in a classy automobile and take you where you need to be. Uber X, very interesting. So I call this thing, it's free rides around Austin, right? And it's using an app, and everything's booked up. There's no way to get around Austin. This is a great way to do it. So you have to, literally, I'm on the app, like, there's no, none available. Six times, one's available. So one comes, and it's like, Marianne will pick you up shortly. And, you know, I'm like, oh, cool, Grand Cherokee. So Marianne comes down the road, and she picks us up, and she's like, gotta be a late 40s, early 50s mom, you know, pretty classic. Northern Austin, like lives north of Austin in Texas. And I'm like, all right, cool, we're going here. And so she's got on her dash, she has an iPhone that Uber gave her, and then in her hand she has a GPS she calls Cupcake, and she's like, oh, I just rely on Cupcake here. And I was like, is that your car? Is that and suddenly, you know, she starts driving. I'm like, oh, we're going into downtown. So literally she's got to take like a left, and suddenly I realized she didn't take a left, and she's like literally taking us like the opposite direction. We start hitting an underpass and highway, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And the part of the problem was that I engaged her, right? I was like, so, you know, tell us about you. She's like, well, I was laid off. Well, my division was acquired by another company, and everyone got laid off. And she could feel the angst in her voice. And she's like, and then I was like, okay, cool, yeah. So how did you find this? And she's like, well, my friend told me that during South by Southwest, I could work at the bars on 6th Street and get paid cash. And I was like, all right. So that wasn't for me. So I Googled work at South by Southwest, and she found this Uber thing. So Uber is paying her by the hour to provide free rides for all these people through an app. And I said, oh, where do you live? She's like, oh, about an hour north of town. I'm like, where are you from? And she's from some other place in Texas. She didn't know Austin. She didn't know the streets. She didn't know that the device in front of her was GPS, and she had her own GPS in her hand. And by this time, she's lost, and she starts swerving a little bit on the road because she's all excited, and she's looking at the GPS, and people are honking at her from behind, and we're all looking at each other in the back of the car like, what the fuck is going on here? Uber is normally town cars. Anyway, I'm like, you know, so she used Google to find us, to find this job, and she gets the job. Apparently, I found out later that Uber gave them all 45-minute interviews and, like, give them 45 minutes to, like, get them all set up, because they're only going to work for a week, right, or yeah. 2 weeks, and do music as well. Later on, we got picked up another guy. He actually knew Austin a little better, but he was about 55, similar thing, got laid off, needed some work. And I was like, how did you find out about this? He said, Craigslist. And you know what I said to him? I said, it's great to know how regular folk use the internet. And it takes us back to this bubble thing, right?
Yeah.
We live in this bubble. We think everyone's on Twitter. You know, it's only 10% of people. We think everyone's using Facebook. And maybe they are, but they're all in their own little, like, silos of who they know. And I think that's the important thing that to keep us grounded is that, you know, it's Google. It's Craigslist. I taught a class across the street about a couple hours ago. And it was musicians. I was teaching them how to use WordPress. And they were literally Googling everything. So instead of, like, hey, they're using their TELUS webmail, instead of going to webmail.telus.net, which is a telco, and they can access their email, they Googled TELUS webmail, and then they clicked the link. And I was like, okay, we're going to WordPress.com to sign up. They're like, they Googled WordPress.com. It was interesting, you know? So it's interesting to keep in mind how ordinary folk use the internet, because I think all of us hyper-bubble people, we're only like 10-15% of the population.
If that, yeah.
Yeah, if that. You know, I hang out with my other friends, and you know, I try to avoid it, you know, and not, you know, pull out my device and do anything. Because you know what? You don't need it. And the most engaging thing is what's in front of you, for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you see this year that really got you excited? Was there anything that stood out?
It's more important about what I didn't see. Google Glass. Where were you guys? I wanted to test it out.
I saw it on the trade show floor, and the guy wouldn't let us try them.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with that, and I don't think it'll be available for consumers for 2 years. Today, actually, there's a bunch of releases from a bunch of different publications about the people that they gave them to, and yeah. A couple of them were like, they said, like, Google Glass, I'd use it to cut you or something. And people were talking about how ridiculous it was that they gave them first dibs. It's like, these are people, everyone's begging to pay Google 1,500 bones to buy these things. What were some, I think for me, it was that brands really stepped up their sort of holistic marketing game. Like, they took it to another level in terms of, like, all round kind of being everywhere. It's funny, last year I remember walking in the airport and the VIP lounge or whatever had the stairs wrapped with Buddy Media. Well, Buddy Media, which was a company that actually didn't make any money, interestingly enough, was acquired by Salesforce for $350 million or so. And this year it was Salesforce that had that staircase wrapped. And we went to the Salesforce party, and yeah, it was nice canapes and free drinks, but those are the parties where you're like, yeah, I don't know if this is really what I want. I didn't really know what Say Media was, but I, you know, for me, it's always about a few good music shows as well at the nighttime. Like I went and saw, you know, Saint Lucia, which you know, they're kind of one of those new '80s revival bands. You know?
Yeah.
And it was great. And it's all about, like, who you're with,
absolutely,
and what you're doing. And it was funny because we luckily got Michael Blonde, another shout out for that guy. But we luckily got VIP passes to that, and so it was, you know, free drinks. And then we didn't realize very much. We're waiting around for the next band for like 45 minutes. And it was like Formidable or something, which is like this crazy intense French woman who was really good as a performer, but like not our type of music. But we walk up the stairs. This is at the Speakeasy on Congress, I think, in Austin there. And we walk up the stairs, and on the second level, there's this VIP lounge with, oh yeah, we're VIPs. We walk in, there's two bowling lanes.
Yep.
Like long as, but like full on, I was just like, wow, awesome. So we bowled for a while, and you know, it's those good. Oh, we also have, the Hootsuite team also had these, we have this Hoot Bus. You can Google it, Hoot Bus, and you'll see it. It's like an art car with an owl. This year we got bikes. So the CEO, he's a smart guy. He knows how a South By works. Cars don't work very well in South By, because traffic gets really bad. But we had these bikes, and it wasn't until like the second last day where I started to actually use the bike personally, and I should have used it all along, because guess what, you go solo, and that's where I went to that collective bias thing. And you go solo and you're on this bike and you can get around town faster than cars. And one of the big highlights was leaving that Speakeasy party with my coworker Andrea, and we found one of the bikes outside, and all the locks had the same code. So we stole the bike from my coworker, whoever it was, and there was a big ass basket on the front, and she sat in it, and we went down 6th Street on the bike, and I was ringing the bell, and it was just so much fun to do that. I think some of the highlights for me Outside of that, in terms of sort of the brand representation, you know, I guess in the second year you start to understand what it's all about and what's going on there. So I wasn't too impressed with anything, I would say. It was those little stories that I shared already. And,
yeah.
And, you know, for me, working kind of ends with a, you know, you got a job to do while you're there. So you're not too focused on what's awesome and what's going on.
Yeah.
What about you? What about some highlights that weren't your, well, your talk was a highlight for me, I got to say.
Thank you. Definitely, I mean, I've talked about this on my blog about, sorry, but it was the year of hardware as opposed to software.
Which was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Google, you know, they sort of downsized. They only had a small little venue this time, but they had some pretty cool stuff with their Google talking shoes at the Google Playground. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a neat, refreshing take on analytics, really, because
the talking shoes.
Yeah. Cause they basically their premise is that, you know, we use things like Fitbits and fuel bands to record our calories,
right,
and our steps and all this stuff. But it's really kind of like, all you're doing is creating an Excel spreadsheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of your activities. And so their idea was to use some off the shelf hardware and basically build a device that would be strapped or be part of your shoe. And it's more conceptual than an actual product they're going to be shipping. But the idea was to give that data set, those analytic numbers that they get from you, a personality, and use that to motivate you instead of, well, your score wasn't as good yesterday as it was today. That kind
so
of
what,
thing.
Like jump higher?
Yeah. So it's like, it was a micro or a little speaker, and they also had like a wireless widget. So it was on the screens on the playground. So they had like a basketball court set up, a little dance club with, you know, disco balls and really fun music and lighting. And then they also had like sort of an obstacle course. And so your shoe would be yelling at you to get going if you're standing still. And it'd be sort of like tweeting about you, you know, on the wall. And then when you start get going, it would sort of, you know, cheer you on and that kind of thing, which is really cool. And each shoe had a different personality. I think I had the crusty New York cab driver guy, but, you know, Amber and Shannon,
hey,
they
are, buddy, hurry up.
Basically, yeah, but it was really clever. And so that was just, again, thinking outside the box about how this stuff that we're all interacting with all the time and how it could actually be more personal for non-technical people too, right?
Definitely so, the era of hardware.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was really fortunate with my 3D printing talk because, you know, 3D printing was a very hot topic this year.
It will be for a couple of years.
I think so. Yeah. So that was great. But I don't know. It this year really felt like the people were the cool thing about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was really fortunate. I had a lot of friends from previous years that I got to reconnect with and hang out with and actually spend some quality time with this time too. Mm-hmm. So we weren't worried about rushing to the next party. We sort of made our own.
Good.
And so that was great. And but the whole serendipity thing that you know, I think Dave Olson calls it the choose your own adventure aspect of
nice.
Of South by Southwest is, you know, a friend of mine, Josh, he used to work at MapQuest, and they used to have this party bus that would go out to Driftwood, Texas for barbecue. A band snuck on the bus a couple years ago and then sort of got discovered by MapQuest and say, well, why don't you perform? You know, they wanted the free barbecue and beer, but they were willing to perform. And then they got hired the next year to actually be the band at the barbecue. And then this year we were at this Vegas tech party. It was getting kind of busy and crazy and stuff like that. So we were looking to move on to our next spot. We go across the street and we're on the street, and I look across the street, and the bouncer at this club that was pretty quiet had like this LED headband on. And I'm like, well, what's that? And so I said, well, let's go find out what this thing is. Turns out it's the NASA party. Yeah, so it was the NASA Huffington Post party, and it was just getting going. And they had these wireless headbands that you could, you give them your ID and they'd loan you one. And they were all connected via Bluetooth. And the band that was performing could actually control the lighting sequence. So all these people were wearing these LED headbands, basically these big white woolly things with lights inside them, and they were all pulsating to the beat of the music or whatever was going on. It was just crazy. And it turns out that the band that had snuck onto that barbecue bus a couple years earlier bought the place. They had
become so successful.
They had been
thing.
Shinobi Ninja, and so. But Josh knew the guys from the band, obviously, because he's the one that organized the them playing. And turns out Dave was there. Dave was the drummer for the band,
And he's like, reconnecting everybody. Like, everyone's just sort of random. And then Dave gives us this grand tour of the whole place. And he goes, I'll be right back. I go do something. And he literally, takes off his shirt and goes on stage to perform.
Wow. So my biggest regret was not going to that Vegas tech party. Because there was a point we were on 6th Street. And I wanted to go to the Vegas tech party. And the two people I were with were like, no, we should go to the same media party. So, like I said, that was a highlight for me. The bowling alleys, yep. St. Lucia. So... the bike ride, hey, actually, now that I think about it, it's like, hey, it's a tough call.
Even it's win-win, right? It's win-win. Yeah, so, but it really is who you're with, right? Yeah. We could be anywhere. We made a good time out of the Salesforce party, even though the party was kind of, wasn't as good as some of the other.
We pounded a lot of free drinks and ate some delicious prawns wrapped in phyllo pastry. I think the Yahoo party was good as well.
The Yahoo was
pretty burnt out at that moment.
But it was perfect because we all had a big space. Yahoo had this massive sort of Flickr launch hall thing and photo booths and, open bar. But the big thing that we all loved was big comfy couches, places to recharge, and people bringing food around to us while we were sort of chilling in between our events.
Yeah, I had to go when John, we used GroupMe, I think, and we had a GroupMe chat, and John sent, there's hanging around lobster, and I kind of pictured this giant lobster tail. I think it was like little lobster canopies on crackers, but hey,
yeah,
it got me there.
It got you there, yeah. Yeah, I liked it because it was right beside my hotel, and they were always open for the whole South By.
I had no idea. See, that's the thing about working it is and then that would be my recommendation to anybody for your first, hey, it's good to do both at some point, but ultimately you'll make the decision about what's best for you. And we talked about this off the top,
Yep.
$3,000, right? Like that's yep. what it costs to go by yourself. And those are vacation days. Those aren't paid days that you take off. And
correct.
I think as a Canadian, you're probably taking Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. So it's 5 days.
And I took the rest of the day that week off too, just to sort of recover and prepare myself for my next thing. But the thing is, even as a speaker though, it was like I was working, because Saturday night everyone's out having fun. I had to sort of go back to my room and sort of get a good night's sleep
although John, you gave a talk worthy of 60 minutes of time and you had 15 minutes. It was a packed room, but to me, I know it's South By, but that was just the prep for this talk that you're going to give a couple more times.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah, and it's a great talk. It's incredibly inspiring. It's about changing your life and changing the world and finding passion in what you do. And that's something that I'm really into as well.
I'm pretty stoked. I got an email today that my talk was recorded and it's going to be online soon. So I'll be able to share that soon.
Cool. Yeah. Because that's always been a bit of a challenge at South By, right? Getting the talks online.
They used to video just the keynotes and things like that. And they've gotten better and then much more dialed in from technology standpoint. And yeah. I think they record everything now, at least audio, if not video. So nice. That's pretty cool. So we're just going to wrap up now. And so I think it's safe to say you're going to be attending next year.
I will be there for a few years. It's funny. I told a lot of people, I have a 4-month-old child at home right now. This is my first real vacation. And they're like, you're lucky.
Very lucky.
Next year he'll be 16 months old and I will be away for 5 days again. And it's just because it's a place where I connect with people that are a lot like me and I go somewhere else. Hopefully next year I'll learn a lot more new things. I always learn a lot more new things. But I think it's funny because you go for this conference where there's so many talks, you have the ultimate FOMO, there's a million great panels happening at once. I feel like as I go more and more, I'll go to more and more talks and more panels. Or I'll have amazing stories to tell,
The first years I went to lots of talks. But the big thing, though, is I went to talks that were stuff I already knew. I'm like, why am I here? Because I should really be learning new stuff, right? And not following the big names. And that's what I've really liked over the last few years is if I do go to a talk, it's about something I don't really know anything about, or it's just something from an entertainment standpoint. I went to a great talk about alternative comedy transitioning to television. So some of my favorite things like Portlandia, for example, right? Nice. And how they got to where they are, and that kind of thing. So
Lorne Michaels helped, I think.
I'm sure. But it was still good to hear it from Fred Armisen and some of the other comics talking about their own sort of experiences. So, the reasons why people go there are all varied. And I first started going because I wanted to learn more about the internet and how to program websites and all that kind of stuff. And there's very little code on screen anymore at these things, right? But it's more about the people that you meet and the connections and then the follow-up and all that other stuff that
you
do.
I'm going to tell one story before we sign off here. So on the plane from – you can't get from Vancouver to Austin direct, so you always have to go through somewhere. So we went through Dallas. I get on the plane in Dallas, and I sit down. And on the left of me is a pretty young woman who works for Zomo. Zomo made the South By app. They're a Vancouver-based company that makes apps for events. She passed out pretty quick. But on my right was the former CTO of the Obama campaign. Okay, so you might kind of have a picture in your mind of what that guy looks like. He doesn't look like that. He is pretty rad. He had like earrings and a massive orange beard. And we had beers and we chatted. And that was, you know, that's, you know, and he kind of turned to me. He's like, yeah, I forgot that South By... starts on the plane.
It does.
And that was, you know, probably my big highlight this year. We took him on the Hoop bus, and you know, he gave us an aux out cable that we needed to hook up to sound. You know, now I'm connected to the former CTO of the Obama campaign for 2012.
That's very cool.
You can't beat it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time, John. I appreciate being here, man.
Thanks again to Kemp Edmonds for chatting with me today on this inaugural episode of Tech A. I'm looking forward to doing more of these, and hopefully you guys like the format. Kind of inspired by a podcast that I've heard from others, including even Mark Maron, who I actually just met at South by Southwest. And I'd never heard his stuff before. I was lucky enough to sort of tag along with Nardwar and while Nardwar was doing an interview with Mark. And so then I sort of discovered his podcast, and I really liked the conversational style of it, as opposed to basically just blurting out the news from a tech standpoint. I think it makes makes for a better conversation, just having a conversation about what we think and what we saw, that type of thing. And so I'm looking forward to doing more of those with friends and other industry people that I come in contact with. Also, I wanted to just mention that the music today that I used on this episode was from freesound.org, and it was 8-bit Electro House from Rutger Mueller, and it's Creative Commons 8-bit music fun. So check that out. And we'll see you next time. You can find more information about this podcast at techea.com, TEKEH.com, or my own site, johnbeeler.com. Talk to you soon.